With Jim Garish, American Grassland Services, speaking at the Grassworks Conference in Wisconsin Dells, you'd mentioned some pointers for grazing and dairy. Sometimes grazing is a supplement to TMRs, right?
In some cases it is. The dairy industry is getting a little bit more diverse this day because there's premiums being paid for 100% grass-based milk, and so dairy farmers need to learn how to use pasture both in a full diet scenario, but also there's plenty who can benefit using it as a supplement to their TMR barn rations.
You'd also mentioned in one of your presentations that farmers are discovering that cows can graze in fairly deep snow. You've mentioned now the further north you go, it seems like the more they've tried deep snow.
They certainly can. Beef cattle, you can force them to do a lot more than you can dairy cattle. Dairy cattle, simply because they have the higher nutritional needs, it's a little harder for them to work through the snow to get everything that they want. Now, dry stock, replacement heifers, they can work at it a little harder, but your milking string, you don't want to push them too hard in a snow situation.
About the pastures themselves, once that grass gets down to a certain short length, that's a good time to get them out of there, isn't it?
Well, you really want to get them out before it gets to that short length. What drives animal performance is how much they can eat in a day. In a pasture, it's how much can they gather through grazing to meet all of their needs. And what most limits grazing intake is taking a pasture too short. Taking a pasture too short slows down the recovery rate of the pasture, but it is also making the animal eat less nutrient-dense food. So there's a lower limit that we want to take that pasture down to. Typical cool season grass legume mix, that's generally in the 4 to 6 inch range, not the 2 to 3 inch range.
You also talked about the need to be making less hay, not necessarily feeding less hay. And there's a little difference there.
Yeah, there is. What's happened over the last 20, 30, 40 years is the cost of making hay has increased at a much faster rate than what the value of our products are. And whether or not you can afford to make hay is pretty closely tied to what the revenue stream that the livestock are going to generate are. And if it costs too much to make hay for the type of livestock and the revenue that they potentially can generate, you've got to look at another alternative to feeding them. Otherwise, it becomes a hobby, and an expensive hobby at that.
One of the examples you gave was the cost of buying a round baler 40 years ago versus what it is just a couple of years ago, and you know, getting that cost for that investment back.
That's right. Equipment cost, a lot of it is over the 40-year time span, has increased, you know, tenfold. And the value of milk, if we look at the 40 price 40 years ago and that today, it's about a fourfold increase. We look at, you know, we just had record high prices in beef 2 years ago. And compared to the last record high price of 1973, it's not even a threefold increase. So our input costs have increased just at a much, much more rapid rate than the value of our products.
And that's why a lot of people are going to grazing again, right?
That's absolutely right. It's just the relationship of input cost to product value. And as long as you're doing a good job of managing those pastures and grazing them in such a way that you're getting a high animal yield off of them, it's going to be a much lower cost. You know, we can express it on an animal unit day basis. In a lot of our Western ranch clients, the cost of grazing versus feeding hay for one day is over $1 per cow, $1.35 per cow per day difference between a grazing cost and a hay feeding cost. And if you're looking at a 100-day, 130-day hay feeding season, that's a lot of dollars.
Is there a difference in grazing when you have different soil types?
There is. Sandy soils drain out quicker, and so they're less susceptible to trampling damage. In contrast, clay soils that hold water and, you know, are real putty-like, it is very easy to compact a soil, clay soil, with grazing it when it's too wet. On a sandier soil, sandy loam soils, fine sandy loams, it's actually fairly difficult to do injury to the soil grazing it when it's wet. Silt loams would be, you know, in between, but if you're into heavier clay soils, silty clays, they are susceptible to compaction, and so we do need to take more attention in our timing of grazing them and our frequency of moving the livestock.
If the soil type permits it, what do you think is a realistic number of months you can graze in Wisconsin?
Okay, that's going to change as we move from the southwest to the northeast. Even 20 years ago, when I was really first coming and doing these kind of programs in Wisconsin, there were guys down in the southwest part of the state who had cut their hay feeding seasons to less than 60 days. Now, you go up to the northeast where there's more lake effect snows, and it simply gets colder, you're not going to be able to cut it down that much. And, you know, I can't give you a number in that part of the state because I'm not that familiar with that part of the state.
As far as the rotation, the terms have changed, but now it's management intensive grazing. Any changes besides the terms, such as how many times a day you'd move those cattle?
Well, for the most part, with beef cattle or sheep, I move once a day. With dairy cattle, we tend to think of giving them fresh pasture after every milking. So if you're milking twice a day, they'd get two feed breaks a day. If you're in a three-time-a-day milking, it would be three sets of, you know, new pasture each day. There's a great deal of benefit reducing the length of the grazing period from, say, rotating once a week to moving every day. We see a big increase in grazing efficiency by allowing plants to recover longer. We raise the overall productivity, and very often we'll see 30 to 40% increase in carrying capacity changing from a weekly rotation to a daily rotation. Now, going from a daily rotation to moving four, five, six times a day, we're usually trying to accomplish some very specific goal with those multiple moves per day. And it might be, if it's a pasture management, a pasture improvement goal, we might only do that through a window of 2 or 3 weeks. And then we'd go back to moving every day. So the multiple moves per day, to me, are really fine-tuning the system. And it's most people don't end up doing it for extended periods of time.
One of the things you pointed out to in your closing statements today is it's important to be a good observer and to pay attention to what's happening with the system.
That's absolutely right. If you don't watch what's happening and see the subtle changes that are taking place in your pastures and in your animal performance and even in their behavior, you can take yourself to a wreck. On the other side of it, the more attention you pay to those details, the more fine-tuning you can be, and you can improve individual animal performance, you can up the productivity of pastures, and just keep moving steadily forward in the progress of your farm.
One of the things that caught my attention in your presentation was that you treat the animal as an employee, and they have a job description, don't they?
That's right. Too many farmers step in and do the job that cows should be doing. If we think about, you know, what should a cow's job be, my first one is find her own feed. She needs to be out there harvesting her own feed, be able to select a high quality bite. She needs to stay healthy without a lot of fuss. She needs to have a positive disposition, which means, you know, come to work every day with a positive attitude. And that's how employees get along, and that's how employees perform when we have minimal social stress within the workplace. So there's a lot of ways we can look at our livestock, and just in that basic business context of what is the relationship of the employee to its working environment, and what is the relationship of management role to employees' roles.
So basically, let the cow do her job, and you make sure that the environment is there for that to happen.
That's right. We always say a manager's primary role is to create a working environment where the employees can thrive. So we want to make the farm into a working environment where that cow can be the very best cow that she can be.
You'd mentioned grazing in Missouri, and then you moved out west. Any big changes between those two areas?
There is. In Missouri, our natural precipitation was 38 to 40 inches. At the ranch in Idaho, our natural precipitation is less than 8 inches. So it is a completely different environment. Same grazing principles apply, but everything happens at a much, much slower pace out in a semi-arid range situation. And then we also graze center pivot irrigated pastures, where as long as the equipment's running, we put on 3/4 of an inch of water every 3 days. And that's almost magical for what it will do. And the opportunity to work in both of those environments and see the differences but see the similarities really gives you a greater appreciation of the role of water and how important it is that you manage your pastures to maximize the efficient capture of water and the ability of that soil to hold that water for future use for the pastures. After, you know, 13 years now of working in the desert environment and the irrigated environment, I'm confident I could go back to Missouri and increase the carrying capacity of our farm there by 50% because I have worked in different environments rather than always being in the same what I'm used to. Get outside of your comfort zone, and that's where you actually begin to learn stuff.
For somebody listening that may be considering more grazing and less traditional methods that they're used to, what's the first thing they should do, and any advice you have?
Okay, in Wisconsin, there's a good network of farmers, both dairy, beef, sheep, who are already doing these kind of things. Find a grazing network in your area. Start going to pasture walks, which typically are held monthly by a lot of the grazing networks, and see what other people are doing in an environment similar to yours. A lot of times we hear these things, you know, we might read it in a magazine, we hear it on a radio broadcast, we hear something at a conference, but our first thought is, yeah, but that wouldn't work on my farm. And when you find someone who's just 2 miles away, who's already doing it, that's the fastest way that you can change your perspective. And by visiting people who are already doing it, that's your opportunity to learn from their mistakes. And generally, on these pasture walks, the host farmer is going to be very open about what he did wrong. And all of us will do something wrong in the course of, you know, our farming operation. And so not everybody has to make the same mistakes. You can learn from what other people have done. You can also see what they did that worked very well and, you know, try to take those ideas, implement them on your farm, and it'll put you one or two steps ahead of where you'd been if you were just trying to figure it out on your own.
Anything you want to add today?
No, I just really appreciate this conference. I've spoken at it in the past. It is a good group of people here, and most of them are willing to help any of your other listeners who are interested in getting a start.